Today's episode is brought to you by Canva. We're all looking for ways to make an impact at work, but not all of us are skilled in visual design. Canva helps you get your point across, simply and beautifully. It's easy to design Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos. You start with a designer-made template and customize it with your content. Plus, add graphics, charts, and more from Canva's massive media library. Whatever department you work in, Canva is perfect for any task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Welcome to Brainstuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brainstuff, Lauren Vogelbaum here. In the 1930s, there was a bit of a war over radios in cars. Legislators argued that car radios were distracting and hazardous. The Radio Manufacturers Association countered that passengers were more of a driver distraction than a car radio. Listening to the radio, they claimed, was safer than even looking in the rearview mirror. But Illinois, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, and Ohio legislatures all considered implementing car radio fines. And in 1935, Connecticut legislators actually did introduce a bill that would have placed a steep fine on radio installation, $50 in 1935, which is over $1,000 today. Others considered making car radio installation a crime. It wasn't until 1939, though, that anyone actually studied whether a correlation between car radios and car crashes existed. The Princeton Radio Research Project determined that car radios played little to no role in car accidents. Skipping ahead to 1999, the Society of Automotive Engineers advised drivers to follow the 15-second rule. That is, they said a driver can be distracted by an in-car activity, such as talking to passengers or retrieving an item from the glove compartment, for up to 15 seconds before the task becomes a visual distraction and thus becomes unsafe. But if you're zipping along at, say, 55 miles an hour, that's about 80 kilometers per hour, your car travels about the length of a football field every 5 seconds. That's about 360 feet or 105 meters. So you cover 3 times that in 15 seconds. Today, both the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the U.S. Department of Transportation recommend that no in-car activity take more than 2 seconds, lest it become a dangerous distraction. At the same time, we'd be surprised if a present-day car rolled off the assembly line without at least a radio installed. Most new models have sleek digital audio systems. Today, too, car audio systems are considered to be among the low-level distractions, along with eating and drinking, that, combined, are responsible for distracting us about a third of the time that we spend behind the wheel. That's not great, but activities like texting while driving are even more serious because that distracts you visually, physically, and cognitively all at the same time. And further research has found that listening to music may actually help drivers stay focused on the road during certain circumstances, like long trips on monotonous highways, though handling a media player or touching the audio controls was found to be distracting. So why, then, do we so often turn down the volume of the radio when we really need to concentrate on driving? Say, when it comes to look for an upcoming exit sign during heavy traffic, or when we're approaching an unfamiliar destination? It has to do with the demands on our ability to concentrate, and the limitations of the human brain. As it turns out, turning down the radio to concentrate isn't strange at all. It's your brain's natural reaction to the circumstances. The human brain has three parts. First, there's the cerebrum, the largest part of the brain, and the part that controls your higher cognitive functions, such as language and emotions. Then there's the cerebellum, which controls your muscle movements and balance. Finally, there's the brainstem, which controls all of the body's automatic functions, such as breathing, as well as acting as the relay station between the spinal cord and the cerebrum and cerebellum. As you go through your day, you collect information about your environment through your five primary sensory systems: taste, hearing, smell, touch, and vision. Each sensory system has its own sensory neurons, and they send reports to your central nervous system, that is your spinal cord and brain, about changes in your environment. The brain combines all of this information and decides how to proceed. That process is called encoding. The brain is constantly evaluating what its primary task should be, the chief task that the brain will focus on, and what its secondary task or tasks should be, which are the concurrent tasks that get less focus. The brain's ability to switch back and forth between tasks is called attention switching, and it comes with a price. When the brain switches its focus and attention from one task to another, it's fast, but not instantaneous. Those fractions of a second spent toggling may slow down your performance, including minor delays in your reaction times. And when you're lost, that could mean the difference between seeing or not seeing the street sign that you need. People often turn down the radio when driving in crowded urban areas, looking for a specific address, or driving in dangerous conditions, like torrential rain or during a snowstorm, because those activities require more concentration than your typical drive. Turning the radio down or off eliminates a task from the brain's to-do list, shifting its focus to the most important task, finding the way, and getting there safely. Research shows that at work, 11% of us write our to-do lists during meetings, and more than half of us check email while we're on a phone call. Many of us like to think of ourselves as expert multitaskers, and we consider it the norm to perform two or more tasks at the same time, or different tasks quickly back to back, or to switch rapidly between two tasks. But despite our pride in and fondness of multitasking, the brain isn't actually built to multitask. Of course, every brain is different, but speaking generally, give the brain one task and it's no problem. Two tasks and the brain divides and conquers them. More than two tasks, though, and things change. With divided focus and attention, the brain begins to perform less effectively and is prone to making more errors. The human brain, it turns out, doesn't have infinite resources, and it handles tasks sequentially. Yet, it's able to switch from task to task so rapidly that we think we're multitasking. And because we have a limited capacity when it comes to focus and attention, especially when we're concentrating hard, the brain has to choose what information gets processed and encoded. For example, your brain can handle either visual driving-related tasks, like looking for an address, or rocking out to the radio. When we try to multitask, each goal competes for the brain's available resources. Multitasking creates a traffic jam, and in the end, we perform poorly on each task as a result. We overlook important information, we make errors, and we end up remembering less information overall. When the brain is forced to switch rapidly from task to task, it doesn't perform as well as it does when it can focus on one thing at a time. Multitasking increases our error rate by as much as 50%. And it doesn't speed things up either. Trying to multitask doubles the amount of time that it takes to perform each of the tasks at hand. When you introduce a third task, the brain's prefrontal cortex, which makes executive decisions, will discard the one it considers the least important. It's got to do with the limits of our sensory system. We tune out what our brain determines to be of lesser importance. When we're lost, or when we have to perform a driving task that we don't do very often, like parallel parking, we edit our environment. We stop listening to passenger conversation. Our field of vision shrinks. We turn down the radio's volume or turn it off, all in an effort to throw our focus into vision or spatial relationships, respectively. And that's great. When you're driving, all your attention should be focused on the road. In other environments, scientists suggest taking control of our focus and attention, consciously beginning and ending one task at a time. This is called set shifting, a practice that's been shown to result in fewer errors than multitasking. Other research suggests devoting 20 minutes to one goal at a time before consciously switching to the next. Today's episode is based on the article, Why Do We Turn Down the Radio When We're Lost? On HowStuffWorks.com, written by Maria Tremarkey. BrainStuff is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with HowStuffWorks.com and is produced by Tyler Klang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.